This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
49ers preview. Alongside Lorenzo Neal, it's Dan Avone. It is big Nick Chickering pulling the levers, whatever the hell it is that a producer does. Carter Chickering. Like, we're 2 seconds in and I already screwed up my producer's first name. Well, what's going on, man? How are you this morning?
Man, I'm still here. Above ground, man. Excited about the big day. Bang, bang, Niner gang. Let's go, baby. Heading out to Tampa Bay.
You know, Ybor City. Before we get into this game, and obviously for the next 2 hours, we'll preview the Niners kicking off against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Niners come into this game 4 up and 4 down at the 500 mark. Meanwhile, Tampa Bay, neither team can afford a loss right now, but certainly Tampa Bay, one game under 500 at 4-5 after that loss on Monday night in front of the country on Monday Night Football. We can detail that coming up in a matter of moments. As I mentioned, kickoff is coming up in 2 hours. We've got everything covered for you. But before we get into the Niners, first things first, shout out Bulldogs in Fresno State. My career started out in Fresno. I think I just missed you.
There we go.
You were Sweeney, obviously.
Yes.
Were you Dilfer?
Dilfer. I had Dilfer and Mark Barsotti. So Trent Dilfer and Mark Barsotti was my two guys. Dilford came out after me, so I did play 2 years with Trent, though.
Were you Freedom Bowl? Or
Freedom
how?
Bowl, baby. Oh, Freedom Bowl MVP. Is. Come on. Your boy brought it home.
That's
your boy
right.
brought it home. Yes.
So, was that
yes.
USC Freedom
USC.
Bowl?
USC. Beat up on the Trojans. Went down south. They were talking junk. So, you know, we took them in the backyard and said, all right, we'll show you what us Fresno Bulldogs can do, you USC Trojans, baby. How about them Bulldogs?
That's
how about
right. Them? Well, no, I just remember getting there. And yeah. All I heard was about Low Neal. I just missed the legend that is Lorenzo Neal, but he's alongside, obviously, as we get into the 49ers. And as we talk San Francisco, though, the big storyline is obviously the return of Christian McCaffrey. First things first, what are you expecting in terms of what sort of impact he's going to have in today's game? And is he on a pitch count, or is it just going to be feed Christian McCaffrey as though he was never gone?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a situation where you got to get the feel of where Christian McCaffrey is. Here's a guy that you understand what he can do and what he brings to the game, especially in the passing game. Because if you look at the running backs, the way they've been running the ball, the 49ers, I don't think it's been a huge drop-off. You've been having pretty consistent running game, running the ball hard, physical. They've been a physical team. But when McCaffrey, what he brings, though, in the passing game and what he can do it by making people miss, he's that big play guy that you've been missing. Because if he's even, he's leaving. The speed that he brings, especially in the passing game, he's too fast for a linebacker. He's too physical for a safety. The one-on-one matchup, what you get with McCaffrey, it is a nightmare. But I think that Kyle Shanahan's going to definitely have him on a pitch count. They're going to say, let's ease this guy back in it. I know he's going to be eager to go, chomping at the bit. But here's a guy you got to make sure, hey, look, let's give this guy 10 to 15 plays, you know, total, let him touch the ball maybe 15 to 20 times total. But you do want to ease him into it. But I wouldn't just work him to death today.
I think that what you have to keep in mind is that he hasn't played all year.
Right.
So it's not only the injury in the Achilles and the Achilles tendonitis, but it's also just getting into game shape.
It is, but he's a guy that you got to realize that he's trained for this. It's when I understand guys say, well, this guy's going to be his first game. He's going to have a little rust. I get it, but it's still football. You don't forget how to run in 5 weeks. He's been running. He's been stretching. He's been lifting. He's had on pads. He's ran. He's done some drills with his helmet on. So he's been doing those things. Now, has he had the hitting part of it? No. But it's something that as a player, when you play this long, I think it's not something. It's not like you forgot how to ride the bike. Yes, you'll have a little rust. You maybe can't ride the wheelie for the whole length of the street, but you still can ride the wheelie for a little bit.
Ride the wheelie. That's the theme for today. Christian McCaffrey, get on that wheelie and go,
go, baby.
So we talk about Christian McCaffrey's return and what it means to the San Francisco 49ers. The one area that you hear consistently is the red zone and just how significant he has been in that part of the field. When you get inside the 20, when you go deep red zone and get inside the 10, Christian McCaffrey a year ago as the offensive player of the year, 21 touchdowns low, 18 of which in the red zone. So you do the math. They clearly need this guy in the most important part of the field.
Oh, no question. Red zone, that's where the difference between 3 and 7. That's a 4-point swing. Field goal, you know, get 3, touchdown, 7. McCaffrey is the best running back in the league when it comes to red zone. Because what happens is, when you know what, when you see guys motion across, he's a smart guy, he's a student of the game, so he sees Debo going across and he sees man or zone. So automatically, he knows if they're playing man or zone as a running back. So even though he's not the motion guy, it's Debo motion across. They're saying, okay, if they go with Debo, we know they're in man. So now McCaffrey understands, guess what? I got man coverage. I know that I'm going to beat this guy. I'm either going to beat him with my speed, or I'm going to beat him with the deception. I'm going to beat him by route running. So I think you are screwed when you're going against a Christian McCaffrey, especially in the red zone, and you dictate, you watch what Kyle Shanahan does in the red zone with this guy. It's going to give me some type of motion. Let me declare what the defense is doing, man or zone, and I'm going to take advantage of it with McCaffrey. You saw how many times last year Brock Purdy would hit him on the red zone, a 5-yard passing, turn into a 7 or 8 and end up getting in zone. Because McCaffrey understands leverage. He understands, look, if they're playing zone, he understands both linebackers are dropping into a coverage. He knows how to push the one linebacker, so widen him out, so he pushes his outside shoulder, so you watch McCaffrey's route running, so he pushes the outside backer's shoulder, so he keeps widening, and then watch how he snaps in, so he creates space and distance between both linebackers, so boom, you get that window, now the ball gets in there, and because he's so quick, he can boom, spin around and still get north and south without either of those guys tackling him. So he is a red zone nightmare for defenses, for defensive coordinators, and for players.
You mentioned the window, and I saw this. I can't believe they've got a stat for everything these days, Lo.
Oh, yeah.
They have a statistic now for the tightest windows that have been thrown into by a quarterback, and it belongs to Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
And a lot of that they attribute to the fact that he's been without a lot of players. That simply, you know, there's, if you don't have someone like that of a Christian McCaffrey or Brandon Ayuk, you can glom on to a Debo Samuel because they're thinking defensively, well, where else are you going to go with the football? Now that you have Christian McCaffrey, we often talk about gravitational pull. We use that theme in basketball when talking about the Warriors. And when Steph Curry comes off a pin down or he's flaring out to the corner, he'll draw 2 or 3 guys. And
right,
that'll free somebody up back
right
door.
Right.
That's going to free somebody up for an open three when
sure
they reverse the ball. I think the same could be attributed to that of Christian McCaffrey. And you tell me, and you can sort of get into this, that as you just laid out, that, yeah, he can find a seam, get it, and go. Or he can just simply run a route, and because he's Christian McCaffrey, I got to pay attention to him, which is going to free other players up and give those sort of window opportunities back to Brock Purdy.
Without a doubt, you just hit the nail on the head. What he does is he stretches the defense. He makes the defense cover every blade of grass. And so what are we talking about that when you're saying, okay, what do you mean? So now when McCaffrey snaps and he hits that window, now guys have to sag. They're saying, God, we got to test and we got to account for Christian McCaffrey. Let's shrink that. So when you shrink that and says, let's play a tighter coverage on him, there's an open another window like you just alluding to, and now it's a window open up for another receiver, another running back to be able to sit there and penetrate and have more success. So without a doubt, he has that it factor because McCaffrey, what he brings to the table, especially in the red zone, you have more opportunities and there's bigger windows because McCaffrey is such a draw, no question.
In your playing days, I'm just curious, who was, aside from yourself, the best, in the, like guys that really excelled in the red zone?
Because
it's an area.
LT. I mean, LaDainian Tomlinson.
Ah.
I mean, when you watch LT, LaDainian Thompson, I think Christian McCaffrey is one of the closest things to him. Because, I mean, this guy scored over 30 touchdowns rushing the ball, of like 39 in one season. Yeah. I mean, the record that still stands that McCaffrey tried to threaten. So when you think about what LaDainian Thompson would do, he was too fast for safety. He was too fast for a linebacker, too physical and stuff for the safety. We'd line him up. McCaffrey is playing what LT did for the Chargers. You can line him up in slot. You can line him up at X, Y, Z. It didn't matter. You can get McCaffrey and you can line him up anywhere on the field. So when you think about what LaDainian would do, LaDainian would put so much pressure on a linebacker because he was in and out of breaks so fast. LaDainian probably could have played receiver in the league. McCaffrey could probably play receiver in the National Football League. So when you have a running back that's versatile, that can line up and play running back or receiver, that's a problem. That's a headache. You don't see necessarily linebackers going out and trying to guard receivers in this league. Now you'll see them drop to zone and have hook curl responsibility, and a receiver might drop in that zone and they have to make a tackle, but they're not going to guard them play in and play out because it doesn't match and it doesn't make sense. That's the same thing that you have with McCaffrey. And with LaDainian, when I was there playing in San Diego with LaDainian Thompson, it was times that you go nickel personnel or dime personnel because LaDainian was in the game and you said, let's go three wide. So you would have to say, look, we can't put a linebacker on. Let's put a safety or a DB in the box to try to cover him because he's just too fast for a linebacker. And then what do? Now you have a mismatch. Now you can say, look, let's run the ball because they have dime personnel in or nickel personnel in. And now that creates more opportunity in the run game. And that's what Christian McCaffrey also brings to the table because of the fact that you have to play nickel or dime or certain or take out a linebacker because you want to be able to cover McCaffrey. So you got to say, let's go with some speed. Let's go with a guy that can cover him. So now you compromise the inside and in the box, and you bring in a safety down there, bring in a corner in there, and now they have to guard McCaffrey. But now you run the ball. And now you have a mismatch because you got a light box. You got a safety in there or a corner in there in the box. Now you have the ability to run the ball. So it does put a lot of stress also on the defense.
That's fascinating because obviously there's the schematic advantages as you just laid out. But also when you agree that there's certain players, whether it's the running back, whether it's the wide receiver, whether it's the quarterback, that are good in between the 20s, go up and down the field.
Yeah.
Then there's those certain cats that are like, that's the goal line, there's the house, that's where I belong. And I guess LaDainian Tomlinson would fall under that head.
Oh, no question.
But you could separate. Could you not? Just could sniff that thing.
Without a doubt, you could separate. I mean, look at a guy, Hopkins. Kansas City said, you know what, let's make that trade. Look at that guy in the red zone. Look what he's able to do.
DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins. So when you start to see certain guys, what they do in the red zone, and it's like, man, what can they bring to the red zone? That's red zone is your money zone. You want to be efficient in the red zone. You want would you take the three? I'll take the three, but I want the seven. And if you have a good red zone team and good red zone offense, and you have a guy like McCaffrey in your red zone package, now you got a guy like Debo, how do you bracket those guys? So if you got a Debo and Ayuk and you got Kittle, who are you going to double? Which one guy, pick your poison. Now you can't bracket three guys. So what it does, it gives you another weapon in the red zone. And that's what he's going to do. What he brings to the table, McCaffrey, is saying, okay, now you got to bracket. Now you got to cover. Now you got to count for me in the red zone. So I think this McCaffrey is a 10 to 14 point difference with his team. That's what he brings to the table. This guy will allow your offense. You'll see scoring go up, not because he's going to score the touchdowns. It's because what he's going to do for others, you're talking about being on the field, it is going to make this offense be even more efficient.
Were you Stan Humphries? Were you with them?
Yeah, I knew Stan. I didn't play with Stan, though. But I came in the league in 93. So I came in the league in 93. Jim Everett was my quarterback when I was playing with the Saints.
Jim Everett post Los Angeles.
Yes, post Los Angeles. So, but when I got to the Chargers, Drew Brees was there and Phillip. So we drafted Phillip. So I was there, played 2 years before Phillips arrived to San Diego. So yeah, so I was there when Stan, I was playing in the league with Humphries, but no, I didn't play with him or
Jr. That's right. The Drew Brees.
Yes, came from Purdue.
That's right.
In 2000.
What was interesting, when he came out of Purdue, they had lost to the University of Washington in the Rose Bowl. And if you remember, Marcus Tuiasosopo was supposed to be the guy.
Yes.
And if you think about Tuiasosopo, I always say that if he played in today's NFL, because nobody could run and throw like that cat back in the day.
No.
And he destroyed Breeze in that Rose Bowl. Yeah. But Tuiasosopo just didn't fit into the league back with the Raiders back in the day.
Right. And in that time, it wasn't as running and wasn't as comfortable for, you know, for running quarterbacks as it is now. But Drew ended up having a hell of a career. Unbelievable guy. Yeah. Great person. Hall of Famer. Just, I love the guy. I love what he brought to the table. And honestly, he's a little Purdy. I mean, you think about Purdy, how the height, the stature, if they are, how Breeze in the pocket. He's a little, I mean, Drew is very athletic, could slam the ball, go play basketball.
No, really?
Yeah, Drew Breesman, he was athletic, move, could run. I mean, I think that he's comparable to a Purdy, but as he got older, you know, became more of a pocket passer and staying in the pocket. But Drew Breeze, athletic ability, high efficiency guy, kind of like Purdy, really, really smart, student of the game, wanted to be great. I mean, here's a guy that had an illustrious career that people wrote off, Drew Breeze, and Hall of Famer. Probably first ballot.
Yeah, I've heard that before. I've done some shows and people have said that Brock Purdy is similar to that of a Drew Brees back in the day.
Yeah.
I would have to say, and I would defer to you, but when I saw Drew Brees, he was might have been the most accurate quarterback I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that Brock Purdy's accurate. I don't know if he has that sort of accuracy.
It hasn't. You're right. You can't put him in with Drew yet.
Yeah.
I'm just saying he shows flashes, and you see his poise and composure like a Drew Brees. You know, watch him throw. He can throw the intermediate ball great, just like Drew. Drew wasn't necessarily a long ball guy, but an intermediate, you know, dot the I, very, very efficient. That's what I like about Purdy. Just cerebral, smart. Drew, smart. Purdy's. And Purdy, you know, you got to realize here, this guy's only in his third year as a starter. And look at this guy, what he's already done. And look what people are demanding from this guy. They're demanding Super Bowls, demanding excellence. Why? Because he's shown people, he's shown people that he can play at a high level. And this guy, even though in spite of being 4-4 this year, no one's saying, oh, that's Purdy's fault. Purdy's the weak link. He's holding up his end of the bargain very well this year.
Yeah, and the bar is so high after what it is that he did a year ago. And everybody's expecting, well, be that guy, take us to a Super Bowl. And I do think that people have to remind themselves that he's in his third year.
Right.
You know, it lends me to sort of a bigger part. And we'll get into the 49ers taking on Tampa Bay coming up at 10 o'clock. But are we sort of in this cancel culture when it comes to quarterbacks? In other words, you talk about Brock Purdy, and it's, you know, you got to win right now. But think about those quarterbacks that come out at number one. Baker Mayfield, his opposite number today, former number one pick, goes to Cleveland. He gets Cleveland their first playoff win back in 2021, I want to say.
Run him out of town.
In nearly 20 years.
Right.
And
run him out of town.
Like, get out of here. We're going to trade for Deshaun Watson and arguably the worst trade in the history of the NFL.
Yes, it is.
Three number ones, a guaranteed $320 million over the next 5 years. But the same could be said and applied to Sam Darnold. Like, we don't have any patience for you, and now he's doing what he's doing out in Minnesota. Look at Jared Goff. Is there a sense that there's, and I understand it because the money has a lot to do with it, but is there this rush to sort of urgency that you've got to deliver right now? When you were in the league, when I was growing up, a quarterback, I don't care where you were drafted, oftentimes would get to the league and they'd say, here's your clipboard, put your hat on backwards and learn the game for 2 or 3 years.
Right.
Now it's like, we want dividends right now. And if you don't deliver in 2 or 3 years, see you later.
Yeah, exactly. And it's too bad that we live in a time like that, that it's like, okay, we don't have any patience for you. You get an offensive lineman, guy can back up for 2 years and say, okay, 3 years, and okay, now this guy comes in, thrust into being a starter, and you can take your time. When you're a high-round pick, your first pick, and all these things, expectation goes through the roof.
Yeah.
And even if it is a merit, I don't know. I think that there's sometimes they put too much stock in these individuals when they're not ready. They're not ready to go be the face of the franchise. And especially when it comes to the quarterback, and that's why they get paid the big bucks. But you make them the face of the franchise. You throw them out there. You want this to make them the brand. You push them out there. And sometimes it can hurt your organization, hurt your team. You look at Carolina. They threw this young guy out there. This guy was a sieve. Couldn't get it done. Had the yips. All of a sudden, what'd they do? Kudos to the Bryce Carolina fan. They brought in the redhead pistol and said, let him go stable this down for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And now what happened? Now you watch, they threw the kid back in there, and at least he's playing with a little bit more consistent, a little more vibe, because he's a little bit more poised. He's got a little bit more control. But they had to sit in because you're going to tear this kid up. A lot of teams, they rush these guys out here, throw them out to the wolves, and then it says, okay, go win me a title. Go win me a game. Go compete. Instead of guys just saying, just relax. It's not about that. We got to put you in a position to have some success. We got to put the weapons around you. Look at Darnold. Darnold's in Carolina. They run him out of Carolina. Comes to the Niners, sits behind Purdy for a year. This guy comes on TV and says, hey, you know what? I learned so much being in San Francisco. I learned how to be a pro. I learned how to practice. I wasn't doing a lot of things right. Sometimes you need to go and leave organizations to go have success and go watch if I doing it the right way. Sam Darnold had an epiphany by being here. It's like, okay, what did the Niners organization do for him? It just made this guy a way better player because he always had it, but he just didn't know how to reach out and get it and understand the nuances of the game. And by coming to a different organization, look at this guy. He's flourishing.
Yeah, you look at Sam Darnold. And so much is made of the fact that he goes to a New York Jet team that was in complete chaos.
Chaos.
I mean, it was Sam Gaze as your head coach, and then he goes to Carolina, Matt Rhule, it's not much better. And then he comes to the 49ers, and it's almost as if, look, this is how you play football. This is how you win. You sort of teach him how to do it the right way. And then he goes to Kevin O'Connell, who's sort of out of that same tree, right? McVay,
right.
And Kyle Shanahan, and now he's doing what it is that he's doing. In your career, can you really go from one team to the next and going, my God, wherever the hell it was I was just at, this is entirely different? Because I think a lot of us just paint the NFL with a wide brush.
Yeah,
like, it's all, they're all good players, they're all good teams. But when you look at somebody like that of Sam Darnold, you can clearly see that there are good coaches in this league, and there's some that have no business being a head man.
No question. And you're absolutely right. Yeah, people do paint the league with a brush and say, oh, they're all NFL teams. They all get paid. A coach is a coach is a coach. They know, all of them know X's and O's. True, to a point. But absolutely, there is a huge difference. You go to Parcells. I played for Bill Parcells and played for, you know, that he was there when I was with the Jets. And the attention to details. To be able to just line up and says, okay, now you're playing X, okay, now you're playing Y, to be able to, you know, we had formations like explode the bunch right or whatever, trips right, fly, flex, all these different things, and learn to line up on the ball, who's off the ball. Some organizations that you go to, and I was with the Saints, and it was no big deal, but we were just running backs. So we lined up in the backfield. You lined up, you know, you maybe emotioned across, but you'd never have to go line up and play X, line up and play Z, move back. Who's on the ball? Who's off the ball? If a guy's on, and the guy inside has to be off. If the guy's inside's on the ball, then the guy outside him has to be off the ball. And then the guy inside has to be on the ball. Those little things, those little nuances that a lot of times guys just don't ask you to do because you're not in that position. You're fullback, whatever. You're not, you gotta line me up out wide. You ain't got a chance. You're not winning this football game. But in the other places that I went, I was like, okay, this is different. So yes, it is a huge difference in coaching. Just the lineup, the technique, alignment, assignment. A lot of teams are just like very vanilla, and a lot of teams can be very more detail oriented. So without a doubt, people are misled by saying, I'm going to paint the league and paint all these teams with the same type of brush. And it is so wrong, and you're so misled, because it is a huge difference in a lot of different organizations. There's so much difference, so much turnover, and just so much attention to details from one organization to the next.
Yeah, and you can apply it to Brock Purdy. I mean, thankfully, he goes to the 49ers.
Right.
This guy could be back in Iowa on his tractor doing whatever had he not been with San Francisco, and he goes to a team where people just don't give him an opportunity, or he's not in the right system, or don't recognize, as you pointed out, the similarities between him and somebody like that of Drew Brees, because he's cerebral,
right.
He knows to go through progressions and where to go with the football. But it'll be Brock Purdy today taking on Baker Mayfield as the Niners take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Just getting back to this contest, and again, we'll stay in the red zone and then we'll move off of that and Christian McCaffrey, but this is a 49er team, number two overall offensively, however, seventh when it comes to the red zone and basically scoring. And so it clearly shows that there is something missing here, and the return of Christian McCaffrey is going to certainly have an impact, and we'll find out in a matter of moments. But I'm curious, Lo, because I'm hearing just sort of from the national perspective, watch out for the 49ers. They're getting Christian McCaffrey back. They're just coming off the bye. They're resetting themselves. Is this team ready to go on a run? Are we putting too much of an emphasis that Christian McCaffrey is going to be the end-all and solve all the difficulties that the 49ers have had up to this point?
Well, Christian McCaffrey, newsflash, can't go out and play defense. Newsflash, Christian McCaffrey can't go out and play cornerback. He can't go out and play, you know, the D-tackle and play D, because last time I looked, Arizona Cardinals came to town, and you're up by 2 points with 5 minutes left in the game, and Arizona took the ball, and they ran it down your throat. You couldn't do anything about it, and you couldn't stop it. They just beat you up. McCaffrey can't help you there. What McCaffrey can do is say, guess what? We're going to score more, do more things, and now your offense is going to become more complete. Now it takes some of the pressure off your defense. So I think with a bye week, if you think about a bye, what it does, that's a week to let your body heal. That's a week of not pounding on a Sunday when guys are trying to hit you. That's a week without your body getting the Toradol, getting the shots, doing the things you have to do. That's a week in your body to stretch and heal, get stronger. You can make some gains for a week. When I know that I'm going to lift heavy for a week because I'm not going to be in pads, I'm going to be running a bunch of, you ain't going to be doing practice that much. You're still going to practice, of course, but you can lift heavier. You can push your body a little bit more because you can go ahead and get a little sore because that Sunday you're not going to be in battle. So you have your body can rest, it can recover. So you can make gains. So go look at teams. Teams off a bye usually win. Teams off the bye usually play better. So I think that you can put, hey, the Niners are going to play better coming off a bye, and especially Tampa Bay coming off a short week. You have an advantage. That's just the way the body by attrition. So I think that McCaffrey does bring a lot to this offense and a lot to this team because it's going to put you in a position that your offense can be more explosive. It's going to put you in a position that your offense can sustain more drives. It's going to put you in a position that now if I can score 7 or 14 more points, now what does that do to the opposition? It makes them, now they're not able to run the ball. Now you can exploit some of the things where the Niners are weak, the deficiency. Maybe against the run, if you're down by 14, I can't run the ball 30 more times in that game. I limit what I can do so I can't be hurt as that many times. So what it does though, it limits certain things and it makes the defense even better because now teams are going to have to throw the ball more. So now I can come after you more. So there's a lot of things that McCaffrey does that it helps the other and helps the whole team. So yes, McCaffrey does give this 49er team some more opposition and makes this team better.
We talk about the bye week and I want to get more into that on the other side, but just really quick as we get to the break, I think that the scheduling sometimes does certain teams no favors, and the NFL and the 49ers have been on the other end. When you think about how they schedule this contest, and Tampa Bay not only losing to Kansas City, but it's an emotional loss as Kansas City once again, somebody trying to knock off the unbeaten, right. And I think Tampa Bay felt as though they had that opportunity. It's the emotional gut punch. But then just physically, so you got to jump on the bird and fly back to Tampa Bay. Tuesday, what? You're watching video. You're not putting in a game plan or planning for the 49ers until, what, Wednesday? And you're practicing Thursday and light walkthrough maybe on Friday? Meanwhile, the Niners have been at it for 10 days, 2 weeks getting ready for Tampa Bay. This is a clear, clear advantage for the 49ers in that regard.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, you got to realize you're 10 days rest and you had a bye week and you're playing a Tampa Bay team that traveled. So they traveled back. They didn't get back till Tuesday. Think about it, because they're 3 hours and two hours ahead of Kansas City. So they get back, what, 2 or 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. That day they're off, they're sleeping. Wednesday they come in and just like you stretch and just get guys in the tub and get guys stretching. You put in some of the game plan. You're not out on the field. You maybe go for a run and loosen up, but you're not necessarily running plays. So it's a short week. You cram everything in on Friday and Saturday, and maybe their bye week and the week before they had some night when you're doing scout team, maybe you were working against the Niners. So what coaches usually do typically when you have a short week like this, the week before, you just, the defense don't know it, but you're already going against the Niners. You're doing some of those things, so you kind of implement that because it's no way physically you could be able to play this game on a short week, and especially playing against the 49er teams that everyone knows pretty physical. So, yeah, huge advantage to the Niners.
All right, we'll continue to talk about the San Francisco 49ers, who, by the way, have won 70% of their games under Kyle Shanahan after the break. And don't forget about last year. They had lost 3 in a row going into the bye week. That straightened things out as they took care of Jacksonville, and they were able to go on that serious run and get, obviously, to the Super Bowl and losing to Kansas City. All right, we'll continue to talk about Tampa Bay and the San Francisco 49ers. It's Lo Neal, it's Dan Devone. San Francisco 49er preview continues right after this quick timeout.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now back to the Kickoff Show on 95.7 The Game.
Lorenzo Neal, Carter Chickering, and Dan Avone got you covered, taking you right up until 10 o'clock as the 49ers with the early game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I just got back from the East Coast, Lo, and wasn't in Florida, but I was in New York. But it was like almost 80 degrees in New York. They're expecting temps to be around 87 degrees, a little humidity out in Tampa Bay. And we are, we're coming up on early November, so certainly a little atypical for people in the Bay Area to be rolling around in nearly 90-degree heat as the 49ers get ready for a Tampa Bay Buccaneer that comes in at 4-5 on the season. As I mentioned, San Francisco at the 500 mark, 4-4, coming off their bye. Meanwhile, it is Tampa Bay that suffered that difficult loss at the hands of the Kansas City Chiefs, the game that went into overtime. We've talked about it, and I'm sure it's been done to death, but the short week is a real thing, as Lo was able to detail. And when you have just a couple of days to prepare for a football team like that of the San Francisco 49ers, and also you have to think about emotionally how much is still being left on that field out in Kansas City, and the decision not to go for the 2 points, but rather head that thing in overtime. Your thoughts on that decision by Kansas City?
I think you end it. I think you try to go for it and end it. You saw the next night, two nights later, you saw what happened in Baltimore where you had the Cincinnati Bengals in a similar situation. You go for two. They said, hey, I don't want to get the ball back, especially on the road. I want to go ahead and try to end this game. Cincinnati, there should have been a holding call. Right. The guy holds the tight end, and they get away with it. But Cincinnati, I think it was great. You go for it. You try to end that game. You don't give the ball back to the Baltimore Ravens. You don't give the ball back to a Mahomes. You go for that too, and you win that game, especially on the road when you battled, and especially with the injuries that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have went through, not having Godwin, not having your Mike Evans, and not having those guys. And you still were able to be in that game against a team that's undefeated, the only remaining undefeated team, and you're traveling on the road. That's an emotional letdown. When you have a chance, you can finish, and you decide not to. That's got to be tough on those guys. And then to travel back, and now you're getting ready to play a home game on a short week against the San Francisco 49ers, who's had a bye, who had 10 days to get ready for you. That's a tall order, for this Tampa Bay team. I just think earlier you made a point. I'm going to jump back, and as I digress, you talked about Brock Purdy, and you talked about, hey, what he's done, and Scott could be on a tractor, but, the 49ers and understanding and giving this guy an opportunity. Without a doubt, so many teams with a guy of his stature and his height and his just who he is would have been saying, I'm going to replace you. So many teams would have tried to replace this guy to say,
or not give him the opportunity.
Not give him the opportunity. You're too small. You're too short. I'm not going to let you play. We're not going to play you. We're not going to let you play in this game. So I think you would have had a lot of teams that would have been like, We're trying to move on from you. We don't want you here. We don't want to give you this opportunity to play. So I think that here's a guy also that understands what this Niners organization, like you alluded to, did for him and gave him the chance to say, we're not trying to place you. You are our guy. You saw all the talking heads at the beginning of the year, last year, the year before. Is this the guy? Will he get paid? Let's replace him. People are like, oh, all he had to do was manage games. All he's just being a game manager. He's got so much talent. All he don't throw the ball away. Just you got Debo, you got Ayuk, you got all these weapons. You got the best defense. Who couldn't do this? Who couldn't be in this situation? Jimmy G, look at him. He had success. He went to a Super Bowl because this Kyle Shanahan's offense is, you know, pretty basic. Anyone can play here. Dummy can do this. But all those things that he had to overcome. All those talking heads, all those different people in the background saying, replace him. And Kyle Shanahan and this organization said, no, we're staying put. We see something. That says a lot about Brock Purdy, and that says a lot about Shanahan, but says a lot more about Purdy, that saying that this organization was willing to trade Trey Lance, who they had so much draft capital in, willing to let Sam Darnold leave and not give him could have made him a backup and maybe threw some money at him to see could he stay here, you know. Willing to do those things because they believe in Brock Purdy.
I think that's all Kyle Shanahan. I really do. I think Kyle Shanahan, he's looks for certain quarterbacks, and it's not necessarily the guys who can throw it the furthest and run a 4.3 40. I mean, he'd love to have Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes and a Josh Allen, but there's a reason why he coveted Kirk Cousins. He wants guys that can execute his innovative offense. He wants guys that are just stay in that pocket, have enough athleticism. If things break down, you can throw from a different platform or get to the outside and extend. But it's just who gives me the best opportunity to. It's almost as if he says, hey, Brock, look it. I will scheme dudes open. That's what I do. You just put it on them, all right? Go through your progressions. Be smart with the football. You're A, going to get paid, and B, you're going to stay in this league for a long time. I don't need all the other stuff. Yeah, can you throw the ball 70 yards in the air? That'd be great, but I don't necessarily need that. And I think since Kyle Shanahan has been there, this is the best guy to drive that bus. I mean, Garoppolo was good. C.J. Beathard, the Nick Mullins, Trey Lance didn't work out. This is the best kid to execute what it is that Kyle Shanahan wants to do offensively. And I think that for 49er fans and then for the nation, who I say all these coconuts are spending so much time, is he a top-tier quarterback? Don't give Brock Purdy $60 million. Where is he in terms of if Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen are 1 and 2? He's not in that. Who the hell cares?
Right.
This is the best quarterback. Right. He's the most equipped to do what it is that Kyle Shanahan is asking of him. End of story for 49er fans. Don't worry about all that other nonsense.
Right. You could be stuck with Dak Prescott, $62 million guy. And that's the thing, and I think that's the difference between a Purdy and this organization. I don't think that this is going to be a guy that everyone's like, oh, he's going to have to get more than Dak. I don't think Purdy's built like that. I think this guy, you know, will he get the money? Of course. If he wants it, of course. But is he a guy that $50 million a year would be good for him? Absolutely.
The hell's he going to do with that money?
Exactly,
he lives on a farm.
Exactly. And that's what I think the 49ers have good leverage, because it's a situation where this guy's going to say, look, I know it's going to tear up the quarterback market. And be like, oh, you can't sign this type of deal. But he's like, look, if I can get $50 million or $40 million a year, and I know I got my security and I got more signing bonus and I got more guaranteed, and I'm playing for $40, $50 million a year, and I can keep Debo and I can keep other guys on this team, I think that's the type of guy he is. I think that's the kind of quarterback that you want to lead your team. Because if you give me enough weapons, and you give me enough weapons, and you keep weapons in front of me, and you give me a good defense, I can win you a Super Bowl. It's not that this guy is that's lacking, that you're saying, okay, no, he's not Mahomes, he's not Josh Allen, but this guy can compete. I mean, last year, the Super Bowl, that's not his fault. If you block, he had Ayuk coming wide open. He had Debo coming wide. They win that game. There's a lot of different things. Just lineman broke down. Offensive line broke down. So you have a guy that is capable of winning you a Super Bowl if you keep the talent here for him. So I just don't think that this is going to be a guy that breaks the bank as far as financially, because he understands what he's dealing with and what this organization means to him too.
I will say that he's not as looked as good as he did a year ago. Now, again, that bar was so high. And I think in the second half of the season, as they get healthier, Brock Purdy can be has the potential to put it into another gear.
Let me ask you something. You said he hasn't done this, he hasn't looked as good as like. Do you think he's ran for more? If you looked at for what he's done last year to now, has he had to make way more plays with his legs this year than last year?
There's no doubt. That first half against Dallas before he really got things going, he seems like he misses guys that he wasn't missing a year ago. Now, he's still an elite quarterback. I'm not joining that posse. That he's like, you know, this is not the real deal. Not at all. But I think that it's legitimate to recognize that when you don't have Christian McCaffrey, you're without Brandon Ayuk and, you know, Kittle in and out of the lineup, that you're going to be limited in terms of what it is that you want to do with the football. Which leads me to my next point with Ricky Pearsall and the breakout game he had against Dallas. We always talk about how a quarterback seems to be on the same page with a guy, but it looks as though those two have developed a little chemistry. Now, obviously, it's a very small sample size, but your thoughts on what you saw to Ricky Pearsall against Dallas going forward in terms of trying to find that guy to replace your go-to threat with the absence of Brandon Ayuk? Could it be Ricky Pearsall, or is it more of the collective, Ricky Pearsall along with Deebo Samuel and the return of Juwan Jennings? But Ricky Pearsall, certainly there was a lot to get excited about in that game against the Cowboys.
It really was. I thought his ability to run routes, get in and out of breaks, and make sure that he can separate after he comes out of the break, the separation was there by Ricky. So I think he's going to be a huge asset for this Niner team to get this guy, get the receivers going, and also just a jolt. You lost Brandon Ayuk, and we know Ayuk is one of the top tier, one of the elite receivers. And that was another thing you talked about. Hey, Brock didn't look as good. Well, you have a guy that didn't play with you the first half of the season because of the fact of contract holdout and all those things. So he missed a bunch of balls early. You remember Ayuk? Everyone's like, why'd you sign this guy? He had butterfingers drop, had a bunch of drops. So the offense stalled at times because Ayuk wasn't ready to come in and he didn't play. He was a little rusty and he had some drops. So that stopped the offense from excelling the way that it could have possibly excelled. So when you look at what he's done as a quarterback, though, you give him now more weapons, I think he's going to be fine. But yeah, like you said, he hasn't played as sharp as he usually has. But a lot of it, I think, because you had the breakdown up front on the offensive line. Also, he has to scramble and he has to create more opportunities with his legs to extend plays, to get it in third and three, third and five. You see a lot of time Brock takes off and he runs, and he gets that to keep the chains moving. So now when you have the return of the Mac and McCaffrey, I think you see a lot of pressure comes off of Purdy, because now he doesn't necessarily have to be looking downfield. He can throw a 5-yard check down and McCaffrey can pick up 30 or 40 or even a home run. That's the kind of guy you have in McCaffrey. You can throw him a swing pass and he can make one guy miss and he can take it the distance. So I think you're going to see a lot more efficiency. And when you have that, what happens? Now defenses are going to say, okay, McCafferson, we got to shrink this defense. We got to make sure that we plaster him. We got to put guys in front of him. So now guys don't take as bigger drops. They try to stay closer in the lane and you don't have as much separation. So now I can go downfield. Now I can throw the ball. You got McCaffrey running to one side. The receiver's going to one side. You got a corner dropping, playing cover two man. And man, he's squatting, trying to get to a spot. And he sees McCaffrey come out there. So he said, I'm not going to go with the receivers much. I'm not going to keep dropping. I'm not going to keep sagging because I know McCaffrey's in front of me. So I'm going to cheat a little bit. Because they might throw it to McCaffrey. Now quarterback looks over to McCaffrey. Boom. Now he goes deep instead of throwing it to McCaffrey. So you are going to have this offense, I think, become more prolific because of the fact that McCaffrey.
Yeah, and all those things that you just mentioned, as good as Jordan Mason is and has been, he just doesn't bring that to the table.
No.
And you're not necessarily focused on where Jordan Mason is on the field. Meanwhile, Christian McCaffrey, we talked about the gravitational pull and what he means to that team in terms of drawing more than one and multiple defenders and creating opportunities in one-on-one play for the George Kittles and the Deebo Samuels of the world, and those windows that gives an opportunity for Brock Purdy to throw and have clear passing lanes. Wanted to talk about defensively what it is that Todd Bowles likes to do. And maybe not to the degree of a Brian Flores, who's a little bit more exotic with his blitzes, But Todd Bowles, traditionally,
he'll come after you.
He's cut his teeth on the defensive side of the ball. He's the defensive coordinator. He wants to stack the box, and he is going to pressure the line of scrimmage, and he's going to bring pressure. For the 49ers, what do they do, or what are they looking to do to counter that this afternoon?
You got to beat man coverage, and that's one of the things, one of the knocks. If you say, okay, what is one of the knocks that people say about Debo? They say he can't get off the press. He can't beat man coverage really well. He said, he's a little stiff at times, but you put him out in space, of course, he can run you over, run through you, do all those things, but he doesn't separate. So you're going to see guys that's what Todd Bowles is going to do today. He's going to try to plaster his receivers. He's going to try to say, get up in their face, make those guys beat you off the line of scrimmage. They're not good man beaters. They don't know how to guess and get off the ball good. They're going to try to jam them, and they're going to say, Vela Beto and all those big guys up front, you guys go get the quarterback. Keep him in the box, and let's do that. That's what I think that's going to be their scheme. Play a lot of cover one safety deep, play a lot of man, press, roll the coverage either to Debo, roll it to, okay, who's going to be the hot receiver? Is Mr. Jennings going to be back? We're going to roll the coverage to him. We're going to double one of these two guys, or we're going to double Kittle. What are we going to do? Are we going to make, how are we going to do the tight end, or how are they going to defense these guys? So the biggest thing is you got to beat press, and you got to beat it right away, because that's what they want to do. Todd Bowles, at times he'll even play cover zero. No safeties. He wants to come after you. Make sure to make the quarterback get rid of the ball or throw an interception. So he's going to have a lot of guys in those box. He's going to have guys trying to beat these receivers up. The goal today is, how do my guys beat press coverage to make Todd Bowles sit off that man coverage, play some zone, and give Purdy some time to find those windows and loosen this defense up?
It seems as though Brian Flores sort of started this against Minnesota. It was the last time they played a 10 a.m. game, a 10 a.m. kickoff. And he decided that, Brock Purdy's going to have to beat me. Or, as you mentioned, the wideouts are going to have to beat this press coverage. And the Niners really had a hard time of it. And I think it's sort of, and you know how it works in the NFL, that these guys, these DC coordinators, who are different human beings. They stay in a dark room going over tape for 14 hours a day.
They do.
And they recognize that, okay, we're looking for that weakness in Brock Purdy, and we think we found something, that he has a hard time in beating man coverage. Very good against the zone. He'll pick you apart if you give him those lanes. But we're recognizing that there seems to be a wart here with him and man coverage and bringing pressure.
Right.
The problem then becomes defensively that, and you tell me, that when you're stacking the box, if there's somebody that's taken a wrong angle, or once you beat that first line of defense, you could see a lot of big plays, and as you mentioned, the home run, you become a little bit more susceptible to that, and that's something you could look forward to in today's game potentially.
Oh, without a doubt. If you're running full speed, and the average listener out there saying, okay, if I'm telling you you're running full speed and you have to stop and turn right, you might run full speed. It might take you 1, 2, 3, 4 steps to stop, to turn, because you're running so fast. But if I'm walking, you say turn right, boom, 1 step, I can turn right. Walking, you say, if I turn your left, boom, 1 step, you turn left. It's that easy because you're not going that fast. Another thing McCaffrey brings to the table, where I'm going with this, I'm going somewhere with this, D. So I see you give me the look like, where are you going? What are we talking about? We're talking about walking and running. And so now you have McCaffrey. The speed in which he runs, he's not running full speed. The linebacker saying, okay, this guy's going out the flat like you just talked about. Because Todd Bowles wants to play man coverage and make sure guys are beat guys up and don't let them beat you press, but they have to turn their back. So you have a lot of guys that are turning their back to the quarterback because they're playing more in coverage and they're playing tight coverage. So their back is turned. Now you have a running back that's 5 yards deep. You have a linebacker's 5 yards deep. Now McCaffrey's trying to beat him to a spot. That linebacker has to run full speed because he knows he's playing against McCaffrey. He's got to run full speed to get to that spot. McCaffrey's running not full speed, but McCaffrey's half speed is faster than those guys' full speed. So they're saying, I can't get beat to this spot. So they're sprinting to a spot, and McCaffrey sees him going, and all of a sudden he comes underneath. That's the opening. Now you have that linebacker that over-pursued, and he's by 1 step. Remember I told you that running full speed and make 1, 2, 3. Now he's trying to retrace, and McCaffrey's already came underneath the middle of the field. DBs, safeties, all got their backs turned because they're running with receivers. And now McCaffrey's 10, 15, 20, and maybe even further down the field because the one-on-one matchup. That's what he brings to the table that the other running backs. Now, you're talking about 4 yards in a cloud of dust, Mason. Mason, 4 yards, 5 yards, cloud of dust. He runs more physical than McCaffrey. Let's not even It's not even close. But far as McCaffrey, give McCaffrey a toss, a sweep. He can break it. Let McCaffrey break a tackle, and he can be gone. It's a difference between a game changer and a chain mover. Mason was a chain mover. McCaffrey is a game changer. And now when you're talking about Todd Bowles and his exotic defense and what he wants to do, get after guys, that's when McCaffrey can have a field day, because he'll get man-to-man coverage, and his speed is just too fast for these linebackers. They over-pursue, they can't cover him, and you'll see some big plays out of McCaffrey, and especially because you'll have some motion to give a pre-snap read what the defense is doing, and it's going to determine what McCaffrey and the success he has, because he's going to have a pre-snap read what the defense is playing.
And the man coverage, not only as you just laid out, will create opportunities with the return of Christian McCaffrey. But correct me if I'm wrong, when you go man up like that, who's the one guy that is uncovered, or the one guy that is does not have a as a defender, there is no responsibility? And it's the quarterback. Because you talk about when you have your back turned, we've seen Brock Purdy run a lot more than he has at any point in his career. And when you man up like that, and things break down, and you're a DB, and you got your back turned, and you have an assignment because you've got a man, the one dude that does not have somebody watching him is the quarterback.
Brock can hurt you with his legs. He can hurt you.
So today could be an opportunity to see more of Brock Purdy doing what he's shown over the last month, which is use his legs and run down the field.
Without a doubt. And at times you'll see that Brock will be open, or he can run, but you'll see sometimes, I think, what Todd Bowles will do because of what Exactly. He'll throw a spy, say, okay, Mike, you got a spy. And that's why you got to say, okay, how can I give my offense the best opportunity to beat that? And if he's just going to spy, then I can stay in the pocket. And now, okay, McCaffrey's going to be here. Okay, Debo's going to be here. What are we going to do to keep that? If that guy's going to stay in the box and he's going to stand there and spy, there's a window right behind him. So you're going to have some opportunities if they're spy or if they don't. And then, okay, now that spy's off, and they're going to drop back in zone, and Purdy's going to see it, he's going to take off. Okay, bam, now you got to play two Mike. At sometimes you got to realize Todd Bowles played Tampa 2. Tampa 2 or two Mike, that means where the Mike, if you got two safeties deep, and the two Mike, that means the Mike runs to the middle of the field. At the snap, Mike turns his back, and he runs because he's paying him in the middle of the field. It's called Tampa 2, two deep. Tampa 2, that's what they, the big deal that they used to do with Brooks, and because he had to run to the middle of the field.
Lane Kiffin, right?
Exactly. So you'll see them at times do that and give some other opportunities for that underneath stuff and a ride across the middle. So you'll see some zero routes, Y shallow cross, where the Y is going to be dragging across, and it's coming open because they're playing two Mike, or Tampa 2, where the Mike's mounting to the middle of the field because they want to make sure they
cover. Monty Kiffin, I'm sorry.
Monty Kiffin. And they want to make sure that those safeties are out there. So you're going to see some opportunities for this offense to flourish. You just can't miss the layup. You can't miss the home run. You can't miss it today. You're going to have opportunities to go out here and solidify this win. Just don't miss the layups.
When you're in the backfield and you see a stack box, or you see eight guys near the line of scrimmage, what are you thinking in terms of, if there's a design run, you're going, whatever, A-gap or what have you, does it change, or offensively, does it change the approach? If you're constantly looking at a stack box, are you going to look to play action, go up top to sort of get those guys out of the line or off the line of scrimmage? Or what is the thought process if you're a team that predominantly wants to establish the run? And the 49ers, last year, look at Christian McCaffrey, led the NFL in rushing. They're without him this year, but still number four. So clearly, this is a team that has, under whether it's Kyle Shanahan or his old man, they're going to establish the run. But when somebody like that, a Todd Bowles, is bringing extra people down near the line of scrimmage, what does that do to you in terms of trying to counter that as far as the running game?
Yeah, with me, usually when I played the fullback position, you would have an over defense. That means where the tight end is where the strength is. We call that over. That means there's a guy over the nose.
Your strong side.
Yep, your strong side. And then if you brought the free safety down the weak side, so you have your will, and the free safety came down, the strong safety came down to the weak side where the will is. And I knew we would run to the bubble. And teams knew we'd be running to the bubble. That means we're the weak side. That means the guard's uncovered. That's the bubble side. The tight end's away from that. All three of those guys are covered. The nose covered. The guard's covered. The tackle's covered. Tight end. Sam and the Mike's on that side. The wheels on the backside, on the weak side. The free safety comes down in the box. and we had a bob. It's called back on backer. So I knew that the free safety was coming down to the weak side to bring an extra guy in the box, and the wheel backer was in there in that bubble. So what I would do is me and LT were understood. Okay, here he is. I know where he is, and we're going to make him play space. We're going to make that safety play air. So when I would come out at the linebacker, I would come out and press his outside shoulder so he would kind of be wide in the hole. LT would be pressing, so he would come through that guard bubble too, but he's kind of running it wide. So now the linebacker and the safety's out.
Who has the ball? In this
LT.
Right? Okay.
LaDainian has
the
ball.
So you're the lead.
I'm the lead. So I'm leading into that bubble side, the open side, and I see it, but I'm pressing LT. I said, get on my outside shoulder. So he'd be out running on the outside. So we're going through that hole. LT's on outside. So the linebacker's widening too, and we already know the strong safety's out there. The free safety is even wider. So right at the point of attack, I want to get my head inside of the backer. So if I can get my head inside the backer, now LT, with his athletic ability, he could be able to jump to the inside. Now when he jumps to the inside, who's there? Because the safety's outside playing air. So you have to set these things up. So you're, like you're talking about, it's an opportunity that you can take advantage of. It's by alignment and it's assignment and it's knowing what the defense is doing. If I can put that pressure on that outside linebacker shoulder where he thinks that, hey, look, we're coming outside. And we're coming outside. Now he kind of widens the hole. And then at the last minute, I cut his inside leg down. Now that safety's outside and he's playing air. He's playing space. And then they say, okay, God, this time we're coming inside. Look, I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to get me to widen. I'm not going to widen. So what you do now is you say, okay, look, I can push him. I can either push him down. Now you have LT or you have McCaffrey, and he's one-on-one with the safety. I like my chances. So this is how you kind of play the cat and mouse game. So this is the different things that you're talking about. What do you do when you see a loaded box? How do you say, do it? You know what? If I have a back that I know that can run in a loaded box, I stay with it. When you got a guy like McCaffrey, him against the safety, and you're saying, you know that, you know, the juice can take care of this linebacker and they're going to push this guy and we're going to make this guy play space. And now it's an empty hole. You can't not just let a defense come up and say, okay, because they got 8 in the box, we got to check out if we can't run it. You can't do it. You have to say, let's test them and see if they're ready for the kind of way that we're going to run at it and how am I going to attack this defense. Because I can see 8-9 guys in the box, and if I know what I'm going to do and I have a game plan before the play starts, a pre-snap, predetermined read, and what I'm going to do and how I'm going to make this play work, and I'm on the same page as my tailback and we understand how this thing works, a lot of times, man, I can show you some tape. It was a home run.
Yeah, I feel smarter already. Let me get behind you out of the eye, man.
Let's go, baby. Get on the hip and don't dip. Let's ride, Daddy. Let's ride.
49ers in Tampa Bay. Carter Chickering, who is our producer and spends time out of practice. Yeah, he had an opportunity because a lot of us, it's just, you know, it's all conjecture. He's going to play. But what does he look like? And Carter, you were there. Is this guy, and obviously it's difficult to simulate game speed, but what can you tell us about Christian McCaffrey returning to practice? How'd he look?
He looked spry out there. He's definitely playing today. I think we know that at this point, but he looked very spry, and I would expect to see Debo out there too. Debo looked spry to me too. They look ready to go. I'm expecting big things, as I told Lorenzo.
He's expecting a blowout today. He pulled it up, and I was surprised to see the line at 6. And then after, you know, we talked about Kansas City, big win for Kansas City, but huge loss for Tampa Bay, bigger loss for Tampa Bay because they were on the road, they traveled, and he's like, look, I got the Niners coming home today, beating Tampa Bay and running away with it. And he said there's another little word on the street. I think you in that same church,
no,
same people.
No, I think it's just a matter of logistics when you think about where Tampa Bay is at physically and emotionally, man. A short week is a short week. So
it is.
We will see. We'll discuss more about Tampa Bay. Want to get into the 49ers and some of the injuries that they're dealing with and also take a look at things defensively, as we haven't talked about that side of the ball. It's Lorenzo Neal. It's my man Carter Chickering and Dan Avone. 49ers preview continues right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.